Amen. For every guest, every visitor, thank you for coming to the house of God. I want to let you know that whatever situation you're going through, that you're here for a reason. That what you experienced in this place can happen every single service, and you can feel that. And I believe God's already doing a work. And what I feel is that God is dealing with some surface level things. Some things we can see. We can see people cry. We can see people get emotional. But I feel the Lord is having me dig deep. He's going to have me dig deep, and it's going to get a little bit messy. But I want you to bear with me, because God's going to heal somebody in this place. God's going to deliver someone from addiction in this place. God's going to fill someone with the Holy Ghost. But there are certain reasons why we cannot get to that point. And I feel God is going to help somebody in this place. Amen. And this week, in preparation for today, I found myself talking with Jesus, asking him what he wanted me to share with you all. And normally the Lord will give me a word ahead of time, and I'll take that word and I'll hold on to it. I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. I'll study. But this time it was different, because my word didn't necessarily come right away from reading scripture, but it came from a conversation that I had with an older lady. And she was sitting across from me at work, across the table, and it was an elderly lady I work with, and she began to share with me her sickness that she has in her body. She's had surgeries on her neck, and surgeries in her liver, and surgeries on her legs, and the brokenness that she had been through. She began to pour out her heart to me, the hurt and the feeling of hopelessness. It radiated from her voice. I could feel that there was a feeling of hopelessness and the struggle for knowing, and she was struggling with the fact that she had been through four different marriages, and finally she found someone now. She had been struggling to fill that love, to fill that void that she has in her spirit. And maybe she didn't know that's what she needed was the love of God. But as I began to talk to her and feel what it was that she was dealing with, there were wounds in her spirit. There were hurts in her spirit that cut her, that caused her from hurt of others to have her think differently about herself, to have her think differently about others around her in her situation. And that's the problem, is sometimes because of our past experiences and our past hurt, it'll change your view of everything around you. You can be hurt by somebody and you used to have a love for them, but all of a sudden there's a hatred that fills your heart and you can't stand that person. And it's something that I begin to feel from her, were these hurts, were these wounds, and I begin to ask the Lord, God, why would you entrust me for this woman to pour out her heart to me? Someone who I can't do anything for her. I can't heal her. I can't show her the love of God in a way that only Jesus can show her. I can't do these things. And I asked God, why was it that you had her pour her heart out to me? And he simply told me this: because you're the one that can lead her to me. Amen. As I began to think on the word that the Lord spoke to me, I felt a heavy weight in the spirit, an urgency, a responsibility. And I realized that every time I pray and every time I ask God to send me people that need you, or send them to me so that not what I can do, but send them to me so that I could lead them to you, He'll do what you ask. If you pray for it, he'll ask. And God, I felt convicted, and I prayed and these prayers and asked God why she came to me. It dawned on me that sometimes my prayers are a lot bigger than I think they are. That sometimes my prayers are not just for me and just for my immediate family, though I pray for them. Sometimes they're for people that I have not yet seen yet. I've probably prayed for some people in this room. I haven't met you. I haven't seen you. But the Lord has dealt with my heart to deal with some of the situations that you're going into in this place today. And I believe that before this service is over, that sickness in your body is going to dry up. That hurt and those wounds that you have in your spirit, God's going to heal them. Those addictions that you have to drugs, to alcohol, it don't matter what the addiction. I believe that before this service is over, those chains are going to break and you're going to experience something that you have never experienced before. It's going to be something greater than a drug, greater than a relationship. It's going to be the Spirit of God that will fill you. Woo. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it dawned on me that my prayers are not as big as maybe I think they are. And sometimes you will spend your whole prayer time with God praying for others. People depend on your prayers. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you your prayers aren't that powerful. Your prayers are powerful. Your prayers reaches nations that maybe you may never step foot in. Your prayer has power. There's a reason why you have a voice. It's because there is power in your voice. And when you combine your voice with the Spirit of God, there is power that is living inside of you. I want someone to know that there is power in your prayers. Amen. I wonder if you could look to your neighbor and say, there is power in your prayers. Amen. And I had only known this lady for 3 days, this lady I was talking about earlier. And out of nowhere, I said she dumped her life story on me, not because I asked her for it. I didn't ask her for her life story. But I believe this woman was exactly the person I prayed for when I asked God to send me the hurting and to send me the broken and send me the unlovable. Why? Not because I can fix their problems, but I can lead them to Jesus, because that's all that I can do. That's all that I can do. If I can be honest, this world doesn't need more watered down messages. This world doesn't need any more good feeling gospels. This world doesn't need something to just hype them up, but then Monday morning, they're still struggling with addiction. And Monday morning, they're still struggling in their marriage. And Monday morning, they go back to the old ways. But then Sunday, they feel good. But no, every time a person steps into this building, I want them to feel the power of God. I want them to feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want them to know that when they step in this place, that there is hope for them, that there is hope for their family, that there is hope for their lost loved ones. Amen, amen. And so as I begin to pray, the Lord put this title on my heart, something that I want you guys to hold on to, and something that God is going to do. And he simply spoke to me that there is hope in this house. Amen. Somebody say, there is hope in this house. Amen. Matthew 10:34, Jesus tells the people, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Amen. What is he trying to say? This world doesn't need all this extra stuff. And we believe that, oh, God is love and God does this. And yes, I believe that Jesus loves you because he died on the cross for your sins. As a matter of fact, while you were yet sinners, he died for you. Even if you failed him, even if you fell short, he still hung on that cross for you. But sometimes we take the love of God and think that it can equate that it's okay to do certain things. But Jesus says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. But Jesus said, I came with peace, but a sword. Following him will cause conflict in your family. It'll cause conviction. People are looking for change. People are looking for hope. They need an experience that is supernatural. Amen. That's why people walk into this place and you hear testimonies. Man, I went to the counselor. I went to the psychologist. I went to the psych ward. I went to the crisis center. I went to 10 different steps. I went to a help me book, but I never found anything until I stepped into the house of God. And it was but a moment. It was but a moment that they came to the altar. And because they realized that there was no hope that this world can offer, they lifted their hands and God began to break things off of their life. People need to feel the glory in the music. People need to feel the glory of God when they come into church and you shake their hand. You think your ministry isn't that big, but when you shake someone's hand, you could be the only light they have seen all week. So don't take your ministry as if it's nothing. From a greeter to the cafe worker, that cup of coffee could bless someone. Amen. Amen. They need to feel the glory. They need a church that what? They need a church that knows how to pray. First Church, we know how to pray. What we experienced earlier was prayer, was intercession, was God was beginning to move in a certain way. And in church, we know how to fast and how to love everyone who walks through the doors. Love them. We got to love people in their mess. We got to love them in their sickness. We got to love them when they're in the mountaintop and love them in the mud and in the trials of life. And I said it earlier, but I believe it's okay if you come to the house of God and it smells like weed. It's okay if you come to the house of God and people are hungover and can barely walk. It's okay if people stumble into the house of God with certain addictions. Maybe they struggle with deep addictions, with heroin, with pills. It don't matter what it is. I'm here to call anything. I feel the Holy Ghost leading me in this place. I don't care what you have come with. When you come to the house of God, God is going to meet you in your mess. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This place is a hospital. It's a hospital for the broken. It's a hospital for the hurting. It's a hospital for the broken marriages and broken family. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I needed it. The church was my hospital when I felt as if there was no hope. And I'm thankful that I went to a church where I could feel the Spirit of God. I didn't walk into a church where the Spirit wasn't moving, but the music began to go. Brother Draylen began to sing, and the Spirit of God began to sweep into that place. And all of a sudden, God refilled me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God's going to do something powerful in this place. Amen. Mark chapter 5, 35 through 43, and I'm reading in the ESV. It says, while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Man, it's kind of tough to think about. I mean, the ruler of your house sends you and you go to Jesus and, I mean, your daughter's already dead. So you look at him, don't trouble Jesus. Your daughter's dead. There's no hope. Let's go back. Amen. But overhearing it, Jesus overheard this conversation going on. And I believe Jesus looked back confused, as if the servant could speak on his behalf, as if this servant can control time, as if this servant can control space, as if the servant can control what Jesus does. He looks not at the servant that gave the negative report, but he looks at the person in need. He looks at the person in need, and what does he say? He says, do not fear, only believe. Amen. I feel that word for somebody in this place. Do not fear, only believe. That sickness, do not fear, only believe. The prodigal, do not fear, only believe. God is trying to tell somebody in this place, do not fear, only believe. And Jesus goes with them. He came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion? Why are you making all this noise, all this commotion? And fast forward, he says, this little girl is not dead. She's asleep. Your situation may seem dead. And to be honest, what the servant was saying made sense. The girl was dead. There's no point in trying to trust the master to do something about it, because the whole purpose you went, there was no hope. And so I feel God trying to tell someone, no matter if your situation's dead, no matter if you feel like there's no hope, no matter what you're going through, that Jesus works miracles, that Jesus can raise things from the dead. Amen. Amen. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age just about, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Amen. Instead of responding to the servant, I said it earlier, he looked straight to the father, the ruler of the house, and said, do not fear, only believe. Jesus ignored that negative report, because Jesus is not bound to the report people give. He's not bound to the doctor's report. He's not bound to the psychologist's report. He's not bound to the report of your friends that talk bad about you, or the people across the street. He's not bound to the report. The only report I need is the report of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let me pause and tell somebody this. You are not a burden for God. Just like the servant said, don't bug the master. There's no point in it. Your situation's dead. You are not a burden to Jesus. You are not bothering him when you bring your impossible situation to him. He's not too busy for you. He's not overwhelmed by your request. He's not shocked that, oh my goodness, you're dealing. He's not shocked. But what Jesus wants to do is he wants you to allow him to step into your situation and not fear, but just believe. Do not fear. God doesn't care about current reports or current problems. He cares that you simply believe and have no fear. And maybe you've allowed fear to hinder you from bringing a problem before the Lord. Maybe you've given up on prayers and you thought would never be answered. Fear causes restriction. Fear causes restriction. You can't give something up when you're restricted. Amen. So when you come to the house of God, you can't live in restriction. You can't live in fear. But when he says, cast your cares upon me, that's a release of fear. Lord, I'm bound. I'm struggling. Lord, I don't know who to talk to, God, but I trust you. Amen. We cannot live in fear. That's why Jesus cannot touch someone if they fear and have no faith. But he asked, that's why he says, do not fear, but believe. Amen. You can't present something when you're restricted. And maybe the enemy convinced you that Jesus doesn't have time for your problems. Maybe you lost faith. Maybe fear did get a hold of you. Maybe you didn't believe. Maybe you feel distant from God. Maybe you haven't prayed in years, so you're probably asking yourself, why would God listen to me now? Why would God listen to me now? I failed him over and over and over and over. But let me tell you that God does not operate like us. Thank goodness. Thank goodness God doesn't operate like me. Amen. He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't leave you on read. He doesn't leave you confused or wondering. He is loving. He is passionate. He is kind. He is faithful. He loves like nobody else in this world. He doesn't find excuses to ignore you, but I would actually argue that he will find an excuse to find you. He will find every reason to find you. Psalm 145 and 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call him." Whether you've been in church for 50 years or maybe it's your first service, the Lord is near if you just call upon his name. So I challenge somebody today, maybe it's been a while since you've called on that name. I challenge you to call on him again, because I promise you that he's listening, that there is hope for your situation, and that Jesus is in this house to take care of everything that you need. What you felt earlier is great, and what you felt earlier is going to happen again. I believe in the Holy Ghost that there's going to be a wave that begins to sweep over this place, and God's going to begin to minister to the needs that people can't even see, that you won't even talk to people about because it hurts too much. What am I talking about? Can I be honest? I'm sorry, I'm just trying to help somebody. God wants to heal the abuse that you endured through your life. He wants to deal with the hurt and the pain, the sexual abuse, the abuse that nobody likes to talk about over the pulpit at times because it's a touchy subject. The abuse of drugs, the abuse of alcohol, that you feel like you failed as a father or maybe a mother, or you feel because you're addicted or you have struggles that you're not worth coming before God. But I want to let you know that you're not a burden. You're not a burden to God. He sees you exactly where you are. Amen. This little girl was dead, and there was no logical reason to keep hoping. In your mind, there may be no logical reason to have hope. But Jesus showed up, and where Jesus is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Even death is not the end. Jesus is the only one that has defeated death, and that's Jesus. He can do it. He has power over death physically and power over death spiritually. Dead situations, they're impossible with man. They're impossible with people like me. I can't do anything. But to Jesus, what are they to him? They are opportunities to bring life again. They are opportunities to bring life again. If you're still not convinced, let me preach until faith begins to build in your spirit. And it just doesn't just come from this microphone, but it begins to resonate in your heart and in your mind. You can look at the three Hebrew boys. They refused to bow. Everybody else bowed. Everybody else did what they were told. And the king got angry because they did not bow. And he tells the servants to turn up the furnace 7 times hotter than it was before. And one thing that stood out to me is the soldiers walking the Hebrew boys to the furnace. They die before they even get to the furnace. But the Hebrew boys were okay. And the boys, they get in the furnace. And maybe you're new to church. You don't know this story. And you think, you know what? They got in the furnace. That was it. You know, they showed loyalty to God. Amen. But that's not where the story ends. No, because there is hope. Because a few verses later, that hope steps into the furnace. The king doesn't know what it is. He's like, I can't really tell what it is. But it looks like the sons of God. And by the end of it, the king has these boys come out not even smelling like smoke. Amen. We can look at Jonah. Jonah ran from the call of God. He took a boat in the opposite direction of where God wanted him to be, and where Jonah should have been on his journey. He was running. And so what happens? There's a storm that comes through. And I don't think it was meant to shake these people or scare these people. But like I said earlier, God will do anything to reach out for you. It don't matter if it comes in a dream. It don't matter if it comes in a vision. It don't matter what happens. God will reach for you until he pulls you. Amen. That's the power of prayer. That's what prayer does. prayer is that avenue in which God can stretch forth through the mouth of his people and begin to pull. You have the power to pull people out from addiction. It's not what you can do, but it's the power that lives inside of you. Amen. That's why sometimes our prayers are a lot bigger than we think. Sometimes our prayers are not for just us, but God is trying to pull somebody out. Amen. Jonah ran from the call, and now that Jonah, he's like, you know what? I know why this is happening, and so he jumps into the water, and if it doesn't get any worse, we know the story. Jonah gets eaten up by a whale, but then something shifts in Jonah's spirit. It's no longer a run, because I think he comes to the realization that God is trying to get a hold of him. That God is trying to do something on him. That calling that God put on his life a long time ago is still there. It's still resonating. It doesn't matter if he ran from the call for years. God was trying to tell Jonah something. And so what happens? Jonah doesn't get angry, but he takes a posture of repentance. He takes a posture of prayer and humbles himself before the Lord. And what happens is the fish spits him out. And the word of life, and that word that Jesus spoke, or God's plan for Jonah was not dead. And what happens? We thought the story would have ended with the fish. No, what happens? Jonah goes and he preaches to Nineveh, and that city is turned upside down. Amen. Amen. I love reading these stories of Jesus' compassion over and over. Scripture shows how deeply he cares, but not just for big miracles and crowds where everybody can see, but Jesus wants to get personal. Jesus is a personal God. You can look at Elijah in 1 Kings, and he's running for his life from Jezebel, afraid, alone, under a tree, asking God, God, why it was just better that I was never born. God, this was the same man of God that just called fire down from heaven a few scriptures later before. And now he's in this place of depression, and now he's in this place fearful and having no faith, and he's not believing. But what does God do? God doesn't answer with rebuke. God doesn't answer with hatred or anger. What does God do? Here's a portion of food. Get better. Feel better. I want the best for you. Jesus wasn't mad at him, but Jesus is giving him time to heal, giving him time to find rest. God didn't rebuke him, but what did he do? He met Elijah in his personal moment, in his personal pain. Amen. Matthew 8, 14 through 15. Jesus entered into Peter's house. When someone comes into your house, that's personal. That's personal. And he goes into Peter's house, and he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and she was healed. And that's how personal Jesus is. He went into the house and met her right there. Amen. Jesus can meet you in your house. It doesn't have to happen here. This is where Jesus usually meets us, because we're in a vulnerable state and we have no fear, and we do believe. That's why Jesus tends to meet us here. But what's crazy is this. When my mom got the Holy Ghost, she didn't receive the Holy Ghost in church. Where did my mom get the Holy Ghost? She got the Holy Ghost in a living room at a friend's house when she began to cry out to God. God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All it takes was a little bit of faith. My mom didn't have any fear. She's a fearless woman of God, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And maybe today you feel like that fear. I want to challenge you to go home when nobody's around. And I challenge you to cry out to God. And I believe God will meet you exactly where you are. And I just want to say this, that Jesus cares about your home. He cares about your marriage. He cares about your kids. He cares about the stress, your health, your emotions, your mental health. He cares about you as a whole. Amen. To the moms, he sees your weariness. He sees your tears. To the dads, he knows the pressure you carry, the silent battles. To the young people, he knows you may feel insecure. He knows that it's hard to grow up in a time like this. But also, I believe that we are living in the greatest generation that the church has ever seen. Come on, I wonder if somebody believes that. Over 1,000 people got filled with the Holy Ghost at a youth conference. 300 plus got baptized in Jesus' name, and 105 notable miracles. And it didn't come from anywhere except the young people that were hungry, the young people that were running the aisles and worshiping. And what happened? Jesus just stepped in and did the rest. Amen. To the moms, we see you weak. Jesus sees your prayers that you pray for your loved ones. Amen. The dads, the pressure the silent battles that nobody likes to talk about. Amen. I remember one of the hardest times in my life, and I share this in this first service, and I had given my life back to God after years of running, but I felt empty. And I thought when I gave my life back to God that I would be full again, that I wouldn't feel empty, but there was still emptiness in my heart. I couldn't be honest about my struggles, about my addictions, about my lifestyles, about my wounds. I had friends, when I gave my life back to God, they called me crazy and they called me horrible things to my face, and it cut my spirit. It wounded my spirit. I had zero friends. I had no friends. I was alone. And it cut me. I had to watch my siblings look at me in the middle of my mess. And it hurt me to see my brother. My brother had a call on his life, but no, he's on the floor because he's drunk and he's addicted to certain things. And it cut me that my brother had to see these things. It cut me. And for sure, God would not use me. For sure, God would not use me if I gave my life back. I kind of made that up in my mind that, Lord, you can't use me anymore, Lord. That calling that you put on my life years ago, Lord, it's gone. It's gone. I had to watch, like I said, my siblings watch me. All I could do was come to the house of God a mess. I had nothing to offer him. I was broken. I was bruised. I was wounded. I was addicted. All I had to do, all I was a bloody mess. All I had was an altar. I didn't have anything to offer Jesus. And maybe you're in this place and you don't have anything to offer Jesus. Maybe you're in this place and all you can offer him is brokenness, is hurt, is wounds. But I believe that before this service is over, God's going to heal some deep wounds, some deep hurts that you have not told anybody about. And you know what? You don't got to tell me about it. You know why? Because there's a wonderful counselor. Amen. There's a wonderful counselor that you can tell everything to. And that's what happened is that Sunday when I had been struggling and I was wounded, and I went to the altar and something got a hold of me. I knelt down, tears running down my face. I hadn't spoken a word yet. Nothing came out of my mouth, and all I felt was what we felt earlier. It was that love of God that began to fill that room. It was that sense of hope that, you know what, Isaiah, maybe there still is a call of God on your life. Maybe there is hope that God will break those addictions that you're scared to talk about. Maybe there is hope for your family. Maybe there is hope for your lost loved ones. Amen. Amen. It was that one Sunday, and in the middle of my tears and my prayers, I felt the Lord whisper this to me. He said, Isaiah, you can tell me. You can tell me. And that moment changed everything. I began to talk to God as my wonderful counselor, and I began to feel that peace. Again, I began to feel that nudge and that call again. I began to feel my spirit full of joy and love again. And I remember as soon as it felt like it got better, something happened. I remember in that same time frame, one of the people I grew up with, someone came up to me and they looked me in the face. They said, man, I thought you were a lost cause. I didn't think you were going to make it. To be honest, I didn't think you were going to make it. I thought you were a lost cause. And man, this person, and it cut my heart. It cut my spirit. I didn't know what to do with it. I thought I would get angry, but there was a righteous anger that began to build in my heart. It was a righteous anger. There's a difference between anger and righteous anger. And I told myself that I will never get to this place again, no matter if it kills me, no matter if it takes me down the hardest of trials of life. I'm going to live for God no matter what it takes. Amen. Amen. That she spoke those words and it cut my heart, and I thought it would make me mad, but I have used it as fuel until this day. And I feel like the trials of life, if you feel like the trials of life are getting heavy, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard. What does that mean? It's a banner. It's a banner in your mess. In your mess of hopelessness, in your mess of addiction, God can raise a standard. What does that banner say? It says, there is hope. There is hope for your marriage. There is hope for your family. There is hope that chains can be broken. God will raise a standard in somebody's life today. Let God raise that standard. And I remind myself that when I think I'm not going to make it, I have a God that will step in, that I have a God that doesn't just watch the attacks of the enemy come and struggles. He doesn't just watch me struggles, but he responds. And maybe it's hard, and maybe it's tough, and maybe I don't think I'm going to make it through, and maybe, honestly, he doesn't deliver me. But he gives me enough faith to stand, enough strength to make it through the trial, enough strength to make it through another day. Amen, amen. And I felt the Holy Ghost earlier, and I'm going to preach a little bit to the prodigals. Amen. Let me speak to the prodigals, whether you're in this room, whether you're supposed to be in this chair. I'll speak to the empty chairs. Amen. But I also know that you think about those prodigals. They think about the times that God touched their life. They think about the moments that God called them at a youth camp in Michigan. They think about those times that God changed the aspect of their family. But I also know the thoughts of hurt that come with it. I know the hatred, and I know the anger that people have towards the church. I know you may feel like God has given up on you, that there's no hope for you. I know that you may feel people will laugh at you and scorn at you when you decide to come to the house of God. I know you may think that, man, there's nothing that I can do. Oh my, man, I'm just better off not going back to church. I'm just better off not going back. I know the battle. Man, I know the hurt. I know the mind games the enemy will play. You might feel bitter or far gone, but I also know, like I said, you remember those moments in the altar where God began to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I wonder if we could just lift our hands for a moment. Lord, I pray, Jesus, over every family, God, that has prodigals, Lord. I pray, Lord, that tonight, in Jesus' name, you would send them dreams, Lord. That tonight, God, you would send them visions, Lord. That tonight, Lord, you would pour out your spirit upon their mind, Lord. Take them back to the time you filled them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Take them back, God, to the time, Lord, that they had the move of God happen at youth camp, Lord. Take them back. Ooh. Come on, I wonder if we could lift our voice for a second. Come on, there's a prodigal that's depending on your prayer. First Church, I pray to God that as we begin to pray and your prayer begins to pull at the heartstrings in the spirit, that they would find a place of love. I want to let a prodigal know that there is hope in this house, that the light is on for you to come back to the house of God. Amen. Hear me. The calling is waiting for you, prodigal. The healing is waiting for you, prodigal. The restoration is waiting. This church is waiting. Amen. To the new believer, maybe you just started coming, living for Jesus recently. Jesus is the best decision you'll ever make. Jesus is the greatest decision you were. I don't come from my family didn't grow up in church, but I can tell you right now, if it wasn't for Jesus, I would not be here and my family would not be here. Amen. That's a testimony for another day, but I know that Jesus has been good to me and nobody has forced me to live for God. I've heard that. Oh, your parents forced you to live for God. Obviously, they didn't, because I'm a prodigal and I decided to give my life back to Jesus. Nobody forced me to live for God, but I choose it because it's personal. Me and Jesus, we've had personal times. We've had personal moments and I've encountered him. I needed help. My family needed help and we needed a church where God's power could move. This church isn't for perfect people. If you're perfect, raise your hand. Amen. This church is not for perfect people. Well, who's it for? Who's it for? It's for the broken. It's for the hurting. It's for the ones that feel like there's no hope. It's for the sick. It's for those who need a miracle in your body. I'm thankful for doctors, and I believe God flows through doctors and gives them the wisdom that they need to do procedures, but I also believe in the supernatural. I also believe that God can heal you in the moment. I also believe that the cancer in your body can be healed in Jesus' name. And if you don't believe me, I've seen it. I've had that encounter. I'm not just speaking because the Bible says, though the Bible is true and every man a liar, I've seen it with my own eyes. I shared this testimony earlier. I remember at youth camp, there was a boy, his name was Dustin Turpin. And I remember he was bound, and he his legs didn't fully grow, and he was in a wheelchair, and he'd been in a wheelchair his whole life. And I remember at youth camp, I don't remember what the message was. I don't remember what the preacher said. I was probably going crazy off sugar and caffeine, but all I remember is that boy. Woo, the Spirit of God moved into that place. The Spirit of God began to flow, and all I remember is I looked up and I saw that boy walking. I saw that boy walking. He had people holding him, but that boy was walking by himself. Amen, amen, amen. That's not just the only miracle I've seen. I remember I was at Grace Apostolic Church randomly. I don't know why I was there. I was visiting, and there was this man by the name of James Drain, legally blind. He had the paper and everything to prove to people that he was blind. Amen. And what happened was James wasn't praying for a miracle. James wasn't looking for God to, maybe he did have fear. Maybe he didn't believe, but something happened when he was baptized in Jesus' name. He came out of that water and his eyes were open. He could see. He took that walker that he had before church, and I don't see him with it anymore. And if you don't believe me, you can go to Grace Apostolic Church, and he's running around the aisles. He's driving his car. Amen. Amen. That's not the first thing I've seen. I'll continue until someone's faith begins to rise. Amen. I remember when I was a little boy, Landmark Tabernacle in Denver, Colorado, DJ Mattern. I don't remember how old she was. All I know is she was off the street. She came in with that walker. She didn't know where to go. She didn't have no hope. But I remember before that service was over, we couldn't find her because she was walking around with vision. She could see. Amen. Not only that, but she began to become one of the most tremendous artwork people that I personally know. God healed her of her sight. Amen. Okay, I'm going to continue. Amen. I remember when I was a young boy. I remember when I was a young boy, there was a growth on my foot. You can ask my parents. There was a growth on my foot. My parents said, Isaiah, you want to go to the doctor? I said, no, I'm going to pray. I don't know how old I was, 10, 11. I didn't know what that all meant. I just began to pray. First day, I prayed, Jesus, heal my foot. Second day, Jesus, heal my foot. Third day, Jesus, heal my foot. 1 week, Jesus, heal my foot. And I remember waking up, and I looked at my foot, and my foot was made whole. Personal experience. Amen. I'll continue. I'll continue because God still performs miracles. I'll continue. I remember I was in Southern California and I was with a group of young ministers preaching the gospel. I wasn't looking for notoriety or nothing, but there were people. I remember the man of God, my friend Brandon, he called everyone with a need in their body to come to the front. And what happened? They came up with wheelchairs. They came up with hearing aids. They came up, man, I was like, man, dude, you are asking something that is going to be, God better show up. And I was like, you know what? He came to the front. This sister came. She could barely speak. I remember she came to the front. She brought her wheelchair up. Wheelchair here. Blind person here. This lady could barely hear and speak English. She didn't know what was going on. Amen. This person. Amen. And by the end of the service, all I remember was there was wheelchair, stick, all across the altar, and they left. Church. I know I'm not the most exciting preacher. All I can tell you is what Jesus has shown me. All I can tell you is what Jesus has done for me. All I can tell you is that there is hope. My God, there is hope for your marriage. There is hope for your sickness. There is hope for your addiction. There is hope in this place today. Woo. Whatever you're facing, whatever seems broken or dead, Jesus is in the house. And where Jesus is in the house, dead thing can come alive. Amen. I want us to lift our hands. I'm coming to a close. Amen. I want you to begin to lift your voice. And I'm just going to minister in the Holy Ghost for a second. I'm just going to minister. I want you guys to lift your voice. I want you guys to begin to pray. What are you praying for? That God's will would be done in this place today. Amen, Lord. Amen. There are wounds that people have in this place. I talked about it earlier. There are wounds from your past, wounds from your mistakes. You haven't told anybody about it. You haven't told your wife about it. You haven't told your siblings about it. You haven't told your pastor about it. But God's trying to deal with you today. God's trying to reach down into the deep parts of your heart. And what is that going to do? That's going to open you up to break every doubt, to break every fear. God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You thought you were unworthy. You don't have to be worthy to get the Holy Ghost. It's a free gift God has for you. And what's going to happen is God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. It's not going to stop there. If you haven't been baptized, you're going to be baptized in Jesus' name. And God's going to begin to work in your heart. He's going to begin to work in your spirit. And all of a sudden, those people you have a hatred for, the ones that have caused you wounds in your spirit, all of a sudden, the love of God is going to cause you to be forgiving. It's going to cause you to be like, you know what, God? I know they've hurt me. I know these wounds hurt God, but I'm going to forgive them. That's the love of God. Amen. For every person, I'm going to be honest because I know you've been bound by that drug for too long. You've been hiding it for too long. Alcohol, it's going to break today in Jesus' name. Pharmaceutical drugs, it's going to break in Jesus' name today. That addiction that you haven't told anyone about, it's going to break today. I know it may seem a little bit uncomfortable, but you don't know, but I know what it's like. I know what it's like when Jesus is your hope. When Jesus isn't just your hope, but it's your only hope. Amen. If we could all lift our hands, I want to let you know Jesus has time for you, prodigal. He has time for you, mama. He has time for you, daddy. Jesus cares about you. Jesus brings to life the things you thought were dead. And I want to let you know that there is hope. There is hope. Do not fear. I challenge you, do not fear. Only believe. And I wonder, I want us to be real honest. Brother Draylen was real honest today. There were people that were struggling with suicidal thoughts. That depression, it's going to break today in Jesus' name. Amen. That depression, it's got to go in Jesus' name. Come on, I wonder if we could lift our voice. Come on, church, we know how to pray. There are some things that we're going to have to fight in the spirit for a moment. That depression, it's got to go in Jesus' name. That addiction, I command you to fall in the name of Jesus. Woo. That marriage, I speak restoration over it in Jesus' name. That healing, I command it to flow in Jesus' name. Amen. But it doesn't have to just come from my voice. You guys can pray it too. You guys can pray it too. I wonder if you could grab somebody that you know they've been struggling, you know they've been hurting, you know that maybe there's addictions, or maybe you yourself, you want to be honest with God and say, God, I don't have hope. Do not fear, only believe. I wonder if you could grab someone, and I'm trying to pull someone to the altar, not because I want a response, but because I know what Jesus can do for you. I know what Jesus can do for you. I know that if you step out in faith, God will meet you right where you're at. Amen. I challenge you to come to the front, and the ministry team's gonna pray for you. All I'm asking is the same thing that Jesus asked from that servant. Do not fear, but just believe. Do not fear, just believe. That prodigal, he's coming home. She's coming home. They're coming home. Amen. That sickness, God's going to heal you in Jesus' name. I've told you testimony after testimony after testimony, but I believe that God wants to add you to the testimony for the salvation of others. Amen. Come on, I wonder if we could begin to lift our voice. I'm going to pray, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would touch each and every individual in this place. That same move of the Holy Ghost that we felt earlier, God, Lord, it was a mighty supernatural move of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm asking, God, that it would begin to flow in this place, Jesus. That, Lord, you wouldn't just do surface level work, God, but we're asking you, God, to go deep, Lord, to the hurts, to the pains, to the struggles, to the trials, Lord, that we don't want to talk about. But, oh God, we need you to be our mighty counselor today, oh God. There you go. God's doing a work in your heart. God's doing a work in your spirit.